From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Nevertheless, as if, notwithstanding all the foolishness and ignorance which David had just been confessing to God, not one atom the less was it true and certain that David was saved and accepted, and that the blessing of being constantly in God's presence was undoubtedly his. Fully conscious of his own lost estate, and of the deceitfulness and vileness of his nature, yet, by a glorious outburst of faith, he sings, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Believer, you are forced to enter into Asaph's confession and acknowledgment. Endeavor in like spirit to say, Nevertheless, since I belong to Christ, I am continually with God. By this is meant continually upon his mind. He is always thinking of me for my good. Continually before his eye, the eye of the Lord never sleepeth, but is perpetually watching over my welfare. Continually in his hand, so that none shall be able to pluck me thence. Continually on his heart, worn there as a memorial, even as the high priest bore the names of the 12 tribes upon his heart forever. Thou always thinkest of me, O God. The bowels of thy love continually yearn towards me. Thou art always making providence work for my good. Thou hast set me as a signet upon thine arm. Thy love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, neither can the floods drown it. Surprising grace! Thou seest me in Christ, and though in myself abhorred, thou beholdest me as wearing Christ's garments and washed in his blood, and thus I stand accepted in thy presence. I am thus continually in thy favor, continually with thee. Here is comfort for the tried and afflicted soul. Vexed with the tempest within, look at the calm without. Nevertheless, O, say it in thy heart, and take the peace it gives. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee.
I'm glad I
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. The law of God is a subject about which there is a great deal of misunderstanding. There are those who think that the law of God has no place in the life of a Christian. Others labor under the delusion that they can be saved by their efforts to keep the law. What does the Bible have to say about God's law? As he introduces this series, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the reasons why God gave the law. Ignorance of or disregard for God's law has resulted in a sad state of affairs in the church as well as in society as a whole. Many a church and many an individual Christian has no conception of reverence or of awe toward the God who is described as a consuming fire. In the first place, God gave the law in order to make men know that they are accountable to Him for all they are and do. Then the law is intended to make clear to all men God's standard for right and wrong. Now, to continue this message, why God gave the law, here is Dr. Cairns.
The very existence of what you call conscience and what the Bible calls conscience tells you God holds you responsible. You're not a victim. You are a responsible, moral agent whom God will call to account by the standard of His inviolable law. Second, God reveals His law to make clear His standard of right and wrong. That is clear from the verse I read in Romans 2:15. That verse again makes it absolutely clear that the moral law is the standard of right and wrong. The standard of right and wrong is not ultimately the standards of contemporary society. Today, there is little shame, if any, in some of the most heinous crimes and moral perversions that a person can possibly commit. But don't be misled by that. Because however much governments change and judges and court systems change, God's law never changes. That's the standard of right and wrong. Nowadays, there's very little acknowledgement of this divine authority in determining what's right and wrong. One of the most vexing questions in America today is how to square your constitutional right of free speech and all that that has been interpreted to include by a bunch of half-witted legal experts with the public good. The airwaves are polluted every day by the foulest, most hellish trash that you can possibly imagine. Homes are being polluted. We're looking at the result. We have now an increasing troop of 10 and 11 and 12 year old rapists and murderers. And the how-to is right in their own home every day. And some godless, wicked, money-grubbing companies and film producers are getting rich on the blood that these people are learning to shed. Nobody doubts anymore that Mr. Quayle was right when he talked of the role of filmmakers and television producers in the whole sordid story of the country's moral decline. Nobody doubts that anymore. It was, for a while, politically advantageous to mock it, but now everybody's saying, yes, it's true. But the question is, how can we stop them? We're told you can't legislate morality. Oh, it's okay to legislate immorality, but you can't legislate morality. We're told quite openly, look, if people want to watch this, why don't they have the right? Well, of course, that's just one step removed, and I realize to many it's a big step. But if someone wants to burst into your home and assault your wife and children, and rape and pillage and murder, if he wants to do it, why can't he do it? Oh, they say that, of course, he's hurting somebody now. But what about the millions of little children who are being hurt and who are being so thoroughly corrupted by this wickedness that the rest of their lives will be spent in misery, and the rest of many other people's lives will be spent in misery as well. If they want to do it, do they not have the right? That raises the greatest question that this nation can really face, and that is the question of ultimate moral authority. When you have denied God, and you've banned God from the education of your children, when you've denied His Word, you've removed the very foundation of moral authority. Why did God give His law? In order that God would reveal the standard of right and wrong. Paul says in Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 23 through 25 of his epistle, that the law is like a mirror, and it lets a man see himself as he truly is. Why did God give the law? To establish what is right and what is wrong. Let me say to you tonight that this has a very individual application. Ultimately, you are not going to stand before any human judiciary. Ultimately, you are going to stand before God. It matters not how acceptable your life is to the corrupt and vile society in which we live. It matters not how morally you stand towering superior over this age and the people of it. You will stand before God to be judged according to His law. And that standard of right and wrong never, never, never changes. The third reason why God gave His law was to establish the only standard of acceptance with Him. Why did God give His law? Micah tells us, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord thy require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. The law sets forth God's standard of holiness. It shows what God expects, yea, what God demands, and the only thing that God will accept. Paul says, it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the standard, total and perfect, absolute and impeccable obedience. Not just in what the old Puritans used to call the substance or the matter of the commandment, but also in the motive. And I must confess, as I studied this and thought about it this week, I came to realize I doubt, and I say this very honestly, I doubt if there is ever one thing I have done in all my life that I could honestly look up to God and say, there is obedience. You see, it's not just in the outward form, but it's in the inward desire of the heart to do that for the sole honor and glory of the Lord Himself. What a standard for acceptance with God. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this myth that some of the Jews have taught for a long time, and now it has become almost so-called Christian orthodoxy, that God will take your life and He weigh up your good deeds and your bad deeds, and if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll be all right. But if they don't, well, who knows what's going to happen to you? But that's neither Christian nor Orthodox. It's the lie of the devil. First of all, if God weighs up all your deeds, let me tell you, you'll find they'll all be in the one side, the wrong side. The standard is absolute, perfect, unblemished obedience, short of which there is no hope of being acceptable to God. Thus, the fourth reason God gives his law is to establish the guilt of fallen man. Paul made this abundantly clear. He says, "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." Why does God reveal his law? He reveals his law so that his witness to every man in Adam, fallen, unclean, will be clear. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty before God. The Lord Jesus says, "There is one that accuseth you, even Moses." That is the law. The law accuses the lawbreaker. How many people kid themselves, "Well, nobody has seen me do this. Nobody knows that I think that. My hidden life is just that. It is hidden." You go through life with the bland smile of the hypocrite. Remember the words of Hagar, "Thou, God, seest me." That law that is written in the heart will rise up as a vocal advocate of your doom, will accuse you, and then, as we have read in Galatians 3:10, condemn you. God thus establishes the guilt of every man by nature. And the fifth reason he gives his law is therefore to slay all self-righteousness. Now put these things together. If God by his law establishes the standard of acceptance with him as absolute, sinless, undeviating perfection in obedience to the substance and spirit of the law, if in so doing he establishes the guilt of every man by nature, then he also slays the self-righteousness of the heart of every Pharisee. And that means every one of us. Oh, by nature, how we love to hide behind our own self-righteousness. "Well, maybe this is true, but..." There's always the but. "I judged by the standard of somebody else. I can convince myself that I am so upright, so holy, so decent, so good." But God does not allow us to judge ourselves by others, but by the standard of his immutable law. And by that standard, he says, "Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." My, what a shocker that is. There is sin in the holiest desire that you've ever felt. There is corruption in the most upright thing you've ever done. There is selfishness in the most selfless action you've ever taken. There is rebellion in what you have taken to be the greatest submission to God. We are all as an unclean thing. Your very righteousness as a filthy rag.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.